The scripture reading tonight is taken in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Meditation will be based or centered in verse 12. Reading now God's Word, the first 25 verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, and that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established, believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Tonight we look at verse 12 of the chapter, part of the king's prayer. O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible is very rich in its teaching of prayer. That does not surprise us, for God has given us to understand the theme of the Holy Scriptures as being that of the covenant of God's grace. The God of grace, through the blood of Jesus Christ, has taken us into his own fellowship and embrace of love. And so the Bible teaches us that prayer is a blessed way whereby we enter into the experience and the enjoyment of the covenant. So we would expect the Bible to talk a lot about prayer. But the simplest and most important lesson, or the most important thing that the Bible says about prayer, is simply this: pray. Pray. The most important thing about prayer is to do it. We say, how? What words am I supposed to bring? Tell us something about the discipline. It's so hard. We say, how can something that I am so consistently bad at doing, and I often fail to do altogether, how can that be God's will for me? And the Bible responds, pray. Draw nigh to God. Call upon Him. Come into His presence. The most important thing about prayer taught in the Bible is do it. We learn that tonight in Jehoshaphat. We learn also that prayer that God calls us to do arises out of two graces that the Holy Spirit must give to us consciously to feel in our hearts. Those graces are humility and trust. Prayer is humility. You have to know, not theoretically, but you need to know personally, your deep need and dependency upon God for all things. You need to know your own lack of any strength. This is how Jehoshaphat says it: for we have no might against this great company that comes against us, and we do not know what to do. If that is not living in our heart, why would we pray? And if it's not living in our heart and we do pray, then our prayers become merely a formal exercise of words, a ritual. Prayer is the confession, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I have no strength. I'm not smart enough. I can't work my way out of this. Prayer arises out of humility, and it arises out of trust that God is going to help me. He will. Josaphat puts it this way, our eyes are upon thee. Thou art the rock of our salvation. The Lord, our eyes are upon thee. The Lord will help me. He will help me. I know that He will help me. And so this prayer of Jehoshaphat teaches us the most important thing about prayer. Do it. And then it teaches us that our prayers must arise from humility and trust. We take our theme tonight from the last part of verse 12, our eyes are upon thee. As we read the chapter, we saw that God took Jehoshaphat, a king who in chapter 19 was busy doing the will of God. He took this king, this godly king, and he dropped him right down into the torrent, into the sea of troubles, of overwhelming waters of fear. God suddenly brought him into circumstances where seemingly it was impossible for his faith to survive. In the opening verses, we read that Moab, Ammon, and later on in verse 10, we discover that the third one referenced in verse 1, the third nation was Mount Seir, and Mount Seir is Edom from Esau, that these three kingdoms from the south and east of Judah, on the other side of the Jordan River, have confederated, and that they have succeeded in surprising Judah by swinging around the bottom of the Dead Sea, quickly going through desert passes, so that now that they were at En-Gedi, through the mountain passes, there was nothing but an open plain before them till they came to Jerusalem. They have appeared in a lightning advance. Suddenly someone tells Jehoshaphat they are there. All three of them, Moab and Ammon, who are the descendants of Lot, Mount Seir, Edom, the descendants of Esau, all three of them are Judah's cousins. And all three of them are nations that God, when Moses came up to the land, God said, you may not, you go around them, you may not destroy them. And now they have come with complete surprise upon Jehoshaphat, a multitude before him. And Jehoshaphat, we read, feared and set himself to seek the Lord, but he was afraid. How do you and I respond to our troubles and our fears when they multiply and when they descend upon us so unexpectedly? Sometimes we treat those things with not faith, but with denial. And we say, well, no cancer is going to come into my family. It's going to turn out okay. Or we respond in panic. This is terrible. Couldn't possibly be any worse than this. Or we respond in self-pity. I can't believe that this is happening to me. This is unfair. I don't deserve this. Look what others get. Or we respond in anxiety. What am I going to do? If this happens, what am I going to do? Or we respond in despair. There's no hope. nothing is going to change. Jehoshaphat feared. His faith did not cauterize or cut away fear out of his heart. He feared. And we often fear as well. But we read, and set himself to seek the Lord. And later on that is described what he means by seeking the Lord. Verse 4, to ask help of the Lord. That he sought the Lord is not what is referenced now today as a seeker church. To seek the Lord is to stand back and to analyze whether God really can play an important part in my life. I'm a seeker. I'm interested. I would sort of like to know. That's not what it means here to seek the Lord. But that he sought the Lord meant that he focused. He took all of his energies of his mind and of his heart and he sought the Lord. He focused upon the Lord. The Lord had said to him, seek ye my face. And Jehoshaphat has responded, thy face, Lord, I am going to seek. Jehoshaphat believed that no matter what had come up against him in these troubles, that none of it would be greater than the grace of God for him. That God was indeed, in his own way, preparing a moment that he was going to glorify himself in his life. And so we read that he calls the entire nation together to the temple for prayer. People come out of all the cities of Judah for this time of prayer. As the prayer unfolds in verse 6, we see that he begins with praise. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God of heaven and earth? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the earth? He confesses the sovereignty of God, the absolute power of God. He goes on to speak of God's faithfulness. Art not thou the God who has brought us into the land of promise? Thou hast done these things. And he explains their distress. Here are the people that we were not permitted to destroy. And now they are at our throats, about to destroy us from our inheritance. But we have confidence in thee. We trust in thee. We don't know what to do. We don't have any strength. We don't have any plan or contingencies for these problems. But our trust is in thee. Our eye is upon thee. We are looking up to thee in prayer. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are always two options before us when we are confronted with our fears, when we are confronted with the demands of the day, when we are confronted with panic and distress. We either turn from God or we turn by His grace to Him. We either say, bad things are coming to my life and I can't be expected under these circumstances to put my faith in God. How can God do these things? Or we say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will turn to him. And we come to say, I never knew God so well as I have come to know him now. Do you turn from God in your setbacks, your fears? Do you turn away from him? Or by God's grace, do you turn to him? Jehoshaphat, in his prayer, is showing us that he's a good student of God's word. And that he has remembered exactly what God had said to Solomon at the dedication of the temple. When God, after the dedication of the temple, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God appeared privately to Solomon by night And God said to Solomon, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Jehoshaphat knew that scripture. He's putting that scripture into practice, where God said, I will be pleased to show my power and faithfulness to you in the way of my grace working in you, seeking me, trusting me in the way of prayer. And then God also said to Solomon, verse 19, 2 Chronicles 7, but if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck you up by the roots out of my land, which I have given to you. God said to them, follow in your difficulties your own inclination and thought, turn to idols, turn to your own resources, I can tough this out, I can manage this, and you will experience at my hand misery and bitterness of the soul, and everything in your life is going to be rooted up. And so Jehoshaphat turns to God. He prays. He prays in that humility. We have no power. I can't do this. I don't have the resources. I have nothing of myself. And besides, we don't know. We don't even know what to do. We are powerless. Now, beloved, ask yourself tonight this question: what do we really think prayer is? What are we betraying sometimes when we talk about prayer? Do we envision that from time to time we need prayer, especially in hard times, because prayer provides the extra boost to get us over the top? Do we go through our life saying, well, yes, there are times that I need a little help. I struggle with a few sins. I need a time, perhaps, from now and then to regroup when it really gets too much. I need a little guidance to get back on track, just like I need coffee to begin each day to wake up. And when problems come to us, do we respond with a flurry of our own activities, trying to solve all the things, and then at last, well, yes, we should ask God for some help, something like your child, your grandchild who's independent. They know that it was a swing, they got a pump, but they can't quite get started with their legs, and so they say, just give me a little push. Give me that underdog, just run through once, and once you get me started, don't touch, don't push, because I can do it myself. Is that what we think prayer is? Beloved, it doesn't work that way. True prayer, every prayer, must begin with the acknowledgement that we have no might. We don't have any. And we don't know what to do. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. And then Jehoshaphat speaks of trust. Our eyes are unto the Lord. Remember what 2 Chronicles 7 said, that prayer that arises to God from humility, that my eyes will be open. And so prayer is that blessed moment that we make eye contact with God. Our eyes are to Him in dependence, and we see the mercy of His grace and eyes in Jesus Christ shining upon us, eye to eye, in the fullness of the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Jehoshaphat's first response was prayer. First response. We can get better at that. The first thing that we do when trouble drops down, I get angry. No, first, I get impatient. Then I get anxious. And then I get angry. And then I need to do something about it. No, says God, first, prayer. Yes, if it means you need to go apart for a moment and pray, do that. But also in our own hearts and spirits, I don't know what to do with this child today. I don't know how I can bear this heartache. I can't see my way through this problem. I'm afraid of this illness. I don't know what to do about this relationship. I don't know what to do with my marriage. I don't know what to do with dating. Lord, I don't know what to do. I have no power. Pray. Our eye is upon Thee. That means that prayer is the eye, the spiritual eye of faith. That means that when we pray, our eyes are open. The physical eye we close. We close the physical eye, children, to avoid distractions, yes. But we also close the physical eye as a sign that there's nothing that we can see. And there's nothing that we are that can be of any help or benefit to us now. We're going into the presence of God. We close our eyes, not to fall asleep, but we close our eyes so that we may focus on the eye of faith that God has given to us. The eye of faith is open in prayer. Actively in faith. Prayer is the work of God's grace, of the activity of our faith. And through the eye of faith, we see. We see the things that are not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the evidence of things not seen. Prayer is not blind trust. Prayer is not a few words thrown in case there is a power that is out there that could possibly hear or help. But faith is 20/20. In its vision, in prayer. It sees. It sees from whence cometh my help. It is focused. Psalm 123, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eye of the servant looks to the hand of their master, the eye of a maiden to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes are upon the Lord our God, until he have mercy upon us. Prayer gives us to see the truth of God upon his throne. Monday afternoon, the first, second, and third graders had the story of Stephen when he was stoned by the Jews. They were throwing rocks at him. And in the midst of those rocks, and this really got him upset when he said this, Stephen said, I see heaven open. And what did he see, children, when heaven opened? He saw Jesus at the right hand of God. Was he hallucinating? Was he really seeing anything you don't see? By faith, when we pray and you close your earthly eyes, we are taught that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. The God of our salvation, our eye is upon thee. It is not that people will say, you foolish Christian, thinking about prayer. We respond, not foolish Christian, but foolish and blind man or woman who does not pray. Psalm 25, verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. The upward look, our eye is upon thee, is the vision of faith. God-given faith, which sees and understands. And we hear the resolve here. We don't know what to do. We have no might, but our eyes are upon thee. Then the next verse adds, they stood there with their little ones, their wives, and their children. There they stood. All of Judah in the temple. They stood, waiting, looking up to God, as the three kings and their multitude of armies was sweeping across the plains, ready to descend upon Jerusalem. They stood looking up to God. They were resolved to do this until the Lord would answer them. They would stand there and trust, our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's sovereign. He's powerful. We will wait upon him. We look for his grace. His grace to sanctify me. His grace to give me his wisdom. His grace all sufficient for me today. I will wait. They stood there with expectancy. They were expecting the Lord to do something. Exactly what, they did not know. But they did know that it would be something amazing. Whether it be in their death or in their life, it would be something to show. God would answer. He would answer to show his glory. And they stood there in love. Prayer is love to God. Prayer is devotion. Of love to God. Our eye is upon him who has loved us through Jesus Christ, his beloved Son, and we wait upon him. We read that God gave them great assurance. Then, verse 17, a prophet stands up and brings the word of God. That word of God comes to them very powerfully in three stages. Number one, verse 15, be not afraid or dismayed, for by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And that means not only that the strength of the battle is the Lord's, but it means this, that God is more concerned than you are about the situation that you're in. The battle is God's. The situation you're in, He's very concerned about that, because it's about His faithfulness and His grace. And that's very important to God. Then the prophet said, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Stand still, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, don't be dismayed. But tomorrow you must go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You must, after you have prayed, go out. You must follow. You must not stay behind. You must go out. You must go forward." And then finally, Jehoshaphat says to them, "Believe in the Lord, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets." And they go forth singing praise. God's mercy endureth forever. So prayer, again, what do we think prayer is? Do we think that prayer is like this, that we're the generals, we're the soldiers on the front line, we're doing the fighting, and sometimes the battle gets so hot that we have to call reserves, God, and have Him come forward and add a little bit of weight, a little bit of strength? Is that what we think prayer is? God comes forward to help us because we've been on the front? No. Prayer is to know that God is up front. God is fighting. The battle is the Lord's. And then the answer, that does not mean, well, then God is going to just change everything tomorrow. God doesn't tell him what's going to happen. But God says, now go out. On the basis of my word, go into the battle with a song and with a promise that I will be with you. And God gave to Judah a great victory of His grace. I conclude tonight with two questions for each one of us. That first question is this: what is my first inclination and response to trouble? What is the first thing that we do in trial and struggles? Fears, reports. Do we complain? We say, no. What do I do? Is there a flurry of activity? And then we say, well, we've done everything we can. Now we should pray. Or do we turn to God? Do we worry about it a lot? Or do we pray about it? Do we go to God with it? And then the second question is this: where are your eyes tonight? And what do you see? Are we looking with the eye of faith at our life? A word to those who are climbing a mountain is always, don't look down. Don't look down. Is that what we do in trouble? Do we look down at ourselves and all that is swirling around us? Or do we look up? Where are we looking? To ourselves, to things, to life, to our abilities, to our smarts, to our money? Or are our eyes fixed upon God and Jesus Christ, our Lord, at his right hand. That's prayer. The first thing, the foremost thing in our lives, with humility and trust, to fix our eyes each day upon him and to go forward. Amen. We thank thee for the Holy Scriptures. We thank thee that the Scriptures are rich in prayer. Now, Lord, renew us. Show us, O Lord, that we all struggle, but we want to be more this way, that we turn to thee and not from thee, that we renounce our own strength and with steadfast faith fix our eyes solely on thee. In Jesus' name, amen.